Yeah.
Here.
Oh, there you go.
But for questions, not for lengthy comments.
So I asked the question about affordability, and so that wasn't really answered. It was more or less, it's complicated, it's not going to be achieved through this plan, and because state law prohibits certain types of strategies that contribute to affordable housing. So my follow-up question would be, isn't the real upzoning that's proposed is to for growth? It's not necessarily for affordability. It's to accommodate more growth, luxury housing and things like that, because affordability can't be achieved. So
You're right. It's going to be difficult to achieve our affordability goals. There are state limits. I won't go into the details of all of that. We're going to talk about that later if you want. But as I said, we're going to need every tool in the toolbox to achieve our to get close to achieving our affordability goals. As far as whether this is just about growth, the current zoning on Colfax could accommodate the projected growth of the next 20 years. So we don't need to allow additional height to achieve our growth projections. So it really is about providing these community benefits. We've heard that we should concentrate growth along Colfax, particularly around the future transit stations for the bus rapid transit, and we've also heard that we want to achieve these community benefits of more affordable housing, more open space, preserving historic buildings. And so this is a tool to achieve those community benefits while concentrating growth in the areas that we've heard people say this is where growth should go. But if we don't raise heights on Colfax, our projections show that it could still accommodate all the growth that we expect to see over the next 20 years.
Well, a segue into that is that the... segue into that is that the community benefit is supposed to be either affordable housing or affordable commercial space, and I'm saying that I think that most developers will go for commercial space and not for housing. How are you going to encourage that?
Yeah. So that's another one I didn't mention, is that one of the potential community benefits we've looked at is affordable commercial space or smaller commercial space for new businesses, small businesses, keep those local businesses. That one there are complications with, and we're not sure we can implement it. And so that may or may not go away. We've heard some concerns from the community on that. So I'm not sure that will stay in the plan, but it is in the draft plan right now. Sort of getting back to what Eleni hinted at, the details are not in this plan. We don't know exactly how much affordable housing or how much affordable commercial space or open space to say for how much additional height or additional development potential. Those kind of details need a lot of study, a lot of modeling and projections that aren't the purview of this plan. So, as I said, this is a policy document. It sets a work plan. One of the things that we would do coming out of this plan is get into that detailed modeling. And again, there will be community engagement, community involvement in that to figure out what the right levels are. But if we do go down this route, we want to make sure that we set the requirements at a level that people will take advantage of it. Because we set the requirements too stringently, no one will take advantage of it, and we won't get any affordable housing out of it. But if we set it too loosely, then we'll get one unit, and people will get a whole bunch of height out of it, and that's not what we want to accomplish either. So we need to find that balance to get the most affordable housing or the most open space out of it that we can while still people taking advantage of it. Yes, ma'am.
I have a problem with you saying that those details are still to come. And if that waits, then we only hear about it when it's at the hearing in the spring. How can we do input for those details before it goes to the open public hearing for passage? Because I think many of us have pretty firm ideas of what's going to impact our neighborhood in the way of height, in the way of canopy, in the way of permeability on the surface, mm-hmm. because the more you add to something, the less permeability you have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, the plan, this plan will not get into those details. Mm-hmm. Those will all be future projects that will be worked out. And again, there will be public input in those. So this sets policy, sets a work plan that will then be followed up.
So you'll have more meetings mm-hmm. for us to help with the details.
Correct, yes. And getting to permeability, I didn't touch on it, but that is also in the plan, so I encourage you to look at the plan and look at the recommendations around that. Yes, ma'am.
In terms of policy, can there be a policy to, since this is a time frame during which we're going to be meeting climate goals as well, could there be a policy about reducing the use of the automobile, closing off some streets, making them green again, making them permeable again, making them walkable again?
Yes, absolutely. You're right. We do have our climate goals. They're referenced in this plan. We also have our transportation mode goals. Our goals are to get the number of people, the percentage of people driving alone to work down to 50% from the 75% or so it's at right now. And so, yeah, there are lots of recommendations about changes to streets, including some where limiting car access and really encouraging, especially 16th, closer to downtown, we're looking at limiting.
Here.
Yeah, it gets... right. So, yeah, there are recommendations about 16th here because of East High, and you can't get through. The focus for really making this sort of bike highway on 16th is on the other side of East. And then for this portion of 16th, the focus is really on greening. It's what we call a contemporary parkway is what the designation is for this portion of 16th. So the really focus is really on improving stormwater management, improving permeability, adding more landscaping, slowing down cars, that sort of thing for this section of 16th.
Slow down, in addition to the cars, could we slow down the number of people that are moving in? I'm serious. The shorter answer is no, we won't.
What is the city policy now on, like, in-law facilities where there's infill? When I lived in Five Points, San Rafael, right adjacent in Curtis Park, they were building new structures, but they weren't allowed to have like an in-law cottage or over the garage. Has that changed?
Yes. So one of the things that came out of the citywide plans that were adopted earlier this year, Blueprint Denver, calls for allowing what we call accessory dwelling units, but it's that mother-in-law cottage, that carriage house, lots of terms for it, to allow that citywide. So that's one of the things that we will be working on the next couple of years, is to allow those everywhere in the city where they're not currently allowed. Yes, ma'am.
I was happy to hear that you're factoring in climate change. I'm concerned about... You're also factoring in growth, and we know that there will be less water, according to the Colorado Water Plan. So how is that going to work? Can the developers be required to do gray water, and can we work with Colorado Water?
Yeah, so again, that's mostly handled in the citywide plans. I know our comprehensive plan and Blueprint Denver talk about that sort of thing, and then we're sort of taking that growth strategy outlined in Blueprint Denver and applying it in this area. So those are really citywide issues that are addressed in the citywide plans and then to a lesser extent in this plan. But I encourage you to...
Can you control the developers?
We can set requirements for things like gray water reuse and stuff like that. But again, that's at a citywide level. Folks that have answered this.
It's
going to be a neighborhood bikeway,
right? Proposed
in this part
of the neighborhood.
I don't think it's connecting with Garfield bikeway. I don't think it's designated as a neighborhood bikeway. I think it's what's called a contemporary parkway, as I said, which is really focused on the landscaping, the permeability, the stormwater management.
I think you said that the anticipated growth needs could be achieved along Colfax without height increase, and then you said there will be height increase across on Colfax. So could you explain dichotomy?
Yes. Yeah, so as I said, the height increases are not needed to accommodate the projected future growth. But what we've heard from the community is that they want to direct the growth to Colfax, so encourage the growth there as opposed to other places within East Central, and particularly on Colfax, encourage it around areas where we expect the future transit stations to be for the bus rapid transit. And then we also want to meet these community goals, community benefits that we've heard from the community, that they want more affordable housing, want more open space along Colfax, want to preserve historic buildings along Colfax. And so the idea is, by allowing additional height in some strategic areas along Colfax, not corridor-wide, but in specific areas where we think it makes the most sense, where it's around those future transit stations, where the lots are big enough to accommodate it, by allowing additional height there, we can meet this goal of trying to direct growth to these areas while also achieving these community benefits. So that's the idea.
Different than Main Street zoning. You're talking about more than five stories out there?
It would be. In some places, it would be, yeah. So,
eight.
Yeah, looking, you know, the entire length of Colfax, some places currently have eight-story zoning. Some places currently have 12-story zoning. And so what we... The way the zoning code works is it's sort of set at levels of 3, 5, 8, and 12. Right. And so the proposal would be in these areas where you allow additional height, it would be up to that next level. So if it's currently 5, it would be allowed up to 8. If it's currently 8, it would be allowed up to 12.
Yeah.